You're listening to the Lakers Talk Podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk Podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
All right, if you're looking for the very best pre- and post-game, you got to go check out the incredible Hotel Figueroa at the corner of Fig and Olympic, two blocks away from Staples Center. How about this? $5 drafts on game day. Make it your pregame spot. Make it your postgame spot. Make it your spot anytime you're in LA Live. Again, just two blocks away from Staples Center. Fantastic hotel, restaurants, coffee shop, anything you need. Hotel Figueroa. The conversation's about Kyle Kuzma. And look, I've done a lot of these shows. Obviously, I'm around a lot of our Lakers content. I know Kuz is, you know, that's been a name that we've all kind of, I don't want to say have gone after, but I think there's something to it when I say, look, there's expectations now, this final stage of the season, and then come playoffs, that's enough. No more excuses. You know, and it's not just Kuz. There's a lot of role players on this team that we're hoping we see some consistency with. But I say Kuz because he's got this incredible upside. And I know Kuz gets labeled as a guy that can, okay, he can get you 15, 20 points. Well, he's not doing it on a consistent basis. So for me, I can take a step back and say, okay, it's all good that Kuzma doesn't come out and give you that many points on a night-in, night-out basis. But the one thing Kuz is going to have to do every time he's in the game, he's got to be effective somehow. When you're on the basketball court for the Lakers, maybe it's 10 rebounds you're grabbing, maybe it's taking a couple charges, maybe it's a couple steals, maybe whatever it is, hitting the glass, giving effort, diving for loose balls, Kuz has to be effective for the Lakers. He's too big of a piece. We had him as too high of expectations, whether they were fair or they were not. We had a lot on Kyle Kuzma walking into the season. That's all I'm looking for. The rest of the way for Kyle Kuzma, all I care about is when you're on the floor, be effective. You know, Alex Caruso, and I'm not going to say Caruso has done this every single game that he's played, but we know what Caruso did in that last game against the Denver Nuggets. He was a plus 23 or plus 22, something like that. I know that doesn't happen every single game, but I feel like when Caruso gets PT, when he's on the floor, Caruso makes winning plays. He's effective, effective. He finds ways to be effective for the Lakers. Kuz is young enough, smart enough, athletic enough, and skilled enough to be a player that is effective on the basketball court. And I think that's the only thing that, you know, I care about when I look at Kuz. At this stage of Kuz's career, knowing that he's just 3 years into his professional career, this is the third season, knowing that there were a lot of things that kind of gone on in the beginning of the year, injuries, trade deadline, adjusting to playing with LeBron and AD. Okay, those excuses have been made. No more excuses the rest of the way. All right, let's hear from Laker fans on the Sprint People's Hotline. Get the most out of your tax refund and get a great phone. Stop by Sprint today to learn how you can get a Samsung Galaxy S10 for an amazing deal. Get a network built for unlimited and a great price at Sprint. Visit your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 to learn more. Restrictions apply. Let's start with Adrian in Ontario. Adrian, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Adrian.
Hey, Alan. I just wanted to see what you think of Kyle Kuzma playing that Lamar Odom role back in the 2009-2010 championship run that we had.
Man, listen, I wish he was that skilled. You know, like I think we forget just how skilled Lamar Odom was in that championship run. And here's the thing, Adrian, that Kuzma has working against him. What Kuz has working against him is Lamar Odom had a number of years of experience in the league before that championship run, or right as that championship run was starting. 2008 when you lost to the Celtics, 2009 when you beat the Orlando Magic, 2010 when you beat the Boston Celtics. Kuz just doesn't have that experience. Listen, if Kuz was any type of version of what Lamar Odom was to the Lakers back in the days, that's amazing. I just don't know if he has that skill set. Honestly, I don't feel like he's at a point in his career. Maybe in 5 years he could be that. I don't think that's going to be the case right now. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Come on, LA. Let's talk some Kuzma right now. Daryl in Thousand Oaks, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Daryl.
Hey, man, I've been listening to you guys, and I think Kuzma takes a beating. I have to say this. You're asking a guy who made the most – he's had to make an adjustment more than anybody on this team, from being a starter to not only limited minutes, the two out of the top six players in the league, two of them play his position. So now you take that away from him, now the minutes are done. Now he's limited on shots because most of the time, if it's not AD or LeBron getting the ball, the guards are taking most of the shots. So he's running up and down like a sprint champion, running to the corner. That's not his game. He's a rhythm player. So you've asked him to lose minutes, lose shots, run up and down the court, not touch the ball, and you see him, but he's not being effective. It amazes me. What do you want the guy to do? What do you want the guy to do?
Keep going.
He's not able. He's not able to play effective because they're not using him. Now it would have been great if they put AD at center position. Then they could have moved Kuzma to the power forward. LeBron is small, but AD doesn't want to play center.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to play power forward.
So Daryl, what do you want the Lakers to do? You guys, you want them to adjust to Kuzma, or you want Kuzma to adjust to LeBron and AD? Which one?
It's obviously Kuzma has to adjust to AD.
That's my point, Daryl. I'm not saying the guy. And if you heard me, I don't care if he puts up 20 points. Find ways to be effective. Do the dirty work. Grab rebounds. Play some defense. Block a couple shots. Steal a couple balls. Dive for a couple loose. Let me feel your presence on the basketball court. That's all I'm saying. I don't disagree that he might be in a tougher predicament because the expectations are up here, but the kind of the way the setup is, it's impossible for him to get up there. But I could tell you one thing, Daryl. There have been many games this season where I don't feel Kuz, and it doesn't have to just be on the offensive end.
Well, I think he's pressing now. I think the problem is because he's hearing it also. So you got to understand, when you start pressing and you want to do things for the team, and I've seen things where I know I've seen Kuzma do certain things where he wouldn't have done last year, but because he's pressing now, because he's feeling it that he's not playing the way he needs to play, or he's feeling like he's not getting the points that he should be getting. So now his game, he's overthinking the game.
Agree that. No, I've said this a couple times, Daryl. By the way, and I appreciate you calling in, and it's all good you want to call me out and say, you know what, you're looking at Kyle Kuzma the wrong way. Make your argument when you do it. I love that. That's the best part of when I do the shows, when I could get callers that call in and want to have a viewpoint that's different than mine. But I'll say this about Kyle Kuzma. Too many excuses. I'm not saying he's got to go out and put up 30. You're Kyle Kuzma. You're a good NBA basketball player. Find ways to be effective. Who cares how you do it? Find ways to be effective for this team. More of your guys' phone calls coming up next. 877-710-ESPN. We'll continue to have this conversation. Funches, I want to get your opinion on this as well when we come back, all right? Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Where are some of these Kuzma defenders? I want people to come out and say, Al, you're too hard on Kuzma. Or, you know what? You're not assessing Kuzma's game the right way. 877-710-ESPN. I don't have enough of those. I wish I had more of those so we can go back and forth and have a little bit of a dialogue. Look, I'm obviously rooting for Kuz. Everybody is. We have to. It's a guy is rocking the purple and gold, and if we're going to have, you know, a great chance of winning an NBA championship, Kuzma's got to play a bigger role, as does Danny Green, as does Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo. I'm going to go up and down the list of all the different players you're going to have to step up. But Kuz is that wild card to me. You know, Kuzma's that player that when you look at his game, he's got the most upside. I know what Rondo is. I've got a great idea of what Rajon Rondo is. I know what he is. I've seen him so much in the league. KCP is going to be a player that gives you 8 to 10 points a game. He might come out of nowhere and give you 15. Kuz is the wild card. And what I don't have enough of, I don't feel like I have enough of folks who think I'm too hard on Kuzma. I got that last caller that thought that, which was great. Let me hear a different perspective. Because the perspective I have is, so far this season, whatever happened so far this year. But moving forward for Kuz, enough excuses. That's it. No more excuses. The Lakers need him to be effective. He's too talented not to be effective. And again, there's different ways you can be effective on a basketball court. somebody wanted to make a Lamar Odom comparison. You think Lamar Odom could be Kyle Kuzma? Do you think Kyle Kuzma can be Lamar Odom? No, I don't. And I don't think Kuzma is at a stage of his career where he could be that good. Listen, Lamar Odom was unbelievable for the Lakers back in the days. So, no, I don't think he's that high. Jason in Pasadena, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Jason.
How you doing, Alan? I'm actually probably a little bit harsher on Kuz than you are, because I feel like his issue is, or the issue with him, is that we as fans overvalued his scoring.
Mm-hmm.
When coming into this season, scoring, yes, it was going to be something he needed to do, but as far as him staying on the floor and contributing, it was going to be about his passing, it was going to be about his defense, it was going to be about doing the little things, because in limited opportunities off the bench, you're just not going to have the ultra green light that he had when he was a rookie and when he was a sophomore.
And when we weren't good.
Exactly.
Right? When the games didn't really matter because you weren't winning 60 games or 50 games. I mean, Lakers right now, we got 40-plus wins, still 29 games left to go. You're sitting in first in the Western Conference. I just, Jason, the way I look at this and the way I look at Kuz is trade deadline's over. That's past. Whatever excuses that we had in the past, that's over. The squad we have now is probably the squad that we're going to have the rest of the way, which means Kuz has to be a bigger piece, and it doesn't have to all be scoring.
No, he's just got to step up. Like, my biggest beef with him has been that for a guy that was 6'8", 6'9", maybe 6'10",
mm-hmm.
he doesn't rebound his position very well, and he's not really a 3, and he's not really a 4. So it's hard for him to find his role defensively, and, you know, he's not really a willing passer like that. So I'm not sure how he figures it out, but defensively is really about effort.
We're losing you, Jay. Appreciate you calling in. Sorry, man. We're just losing you right there. Let me squeeze in a couple quick phone calls here. And I don't want to take this. Look, I don't want to take this to where I'm talking about Kuz and my goal is to point out his flaws. What I'm trying to take this conversation is there's going to be an expectation for Kuz the rest of the way. Kuz is not a player that's ninth on your bench where you're like, you know, whatever. It happens, it happens. If Quinn Cook comes off the bench and gets you some good minutes, solid. We'll take it. If there's just certain players on this roster that maybe you don't have that much expectations for, Lakers need Kuz to perform. Lakers are going to need productivity from Kyle Kuzma. Alex in Irvine, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, one point I wanted to make was I think most people are in agreement that Kuzma is still a borderline all-star. He's still our third best player on the team. What I see happening is he comes in late in the first quarter, mid-first quarter, to give us that boost, and everyone on the court isn't playing as if he is the fresh borderline all-star that he is.
Do you think, Alex, by the way, just your honest opinion, do you believe that? Do you think he's a borderline all-star?
I think he is. I think he's a potential borderline all-star. That's how he's played for the last 2 years. That's why we kept him, and that's what we expect from him. What I'd like to see, and I've seen this a few games, and you could tell me if you've seen something different,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, we get to the end of the quarters, times where end of shot clock, times when it's easy to give it to someone that might need to be fed the ball a little bit more, that has the ability to produce his own shot, and he's not getting those opportunities in those points. And that's when a Jamal Crawford type of player would always get the ball. You know, players like that, that are scorers that everyone knows can score, and there's an element to a game in the shot clock where you can give it to somebody, just feed him the ball just like you would a big man at certain aspects of the game. And you let him get a shot up.
You know Alex, here's my issue. My issue is this. And maybe I'm way off in this. I don't think he's a borderline all-star at all right now. And if I'm wrong on that one, you can call in and let me know how you feel. But that doesn't mean that in 3-4 years he can be an all-star, or it doesn't mean on a different team he can't put up points. I'm just talking about this team right now. We can make the comparison, say, Jamal Crawford and Lou Williams. Look what they do. Look what they've done in their career. That's not him. And all I'm saying is, when he's on the court, he's got to do something. So if it ain't scoring, that's fine. But if we're going to go up in a seven-game set against the Los Angeles Clippers, Kuz has got to be there. And Kuz has to be effective. Has to be. You know, we don't have this crazy array of weapons everywhere. LBJ and Anthony Davis, top two in the NBA. Top five in the NBA, wherever you want to put them. It doesn't matter. They're that good. But you got to have role players that have a role, that are also effective on your team. Lakers aren't winning chips without D-Fish. They're not winning championships without Meta, Lamar Odom, Kurt Rambis, AC Green, Rick Fox, Devin George, Brian Shaw. Go down the list. You're not winning championships unless there's more than two people that are stepping up. Kuz has got the biggest potential of all the other players that are on this Lakers roster. I know what a lot of these other players are going to give to the Lakers. If Kuz is going to play big-time minutes for this Lakers team, this Lakers organization, we got to see more from Kyle Kuzma. All right, we got a shootout coming up next, and then I'm going to take more of your guys' phone calls as well. So if you're on the line right now, hang in there. Just hang in there. Got a show to do here, okay? I just can't take all your calls. Give me a second. Appreciate everybody that's called in. More Lakers talk coming up next. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN. All right, still got another solid hour left to go. Appreciate everybody that's called in or just tuned into the broadcast. By the way, you miss any part of this show, you could download the show on the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Sliwa show all week, by the way. So Lakers Talk tonight, tomorrow, 6:30 to 9. Tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, I'll do my show. And then Lakers, Memphis Grizzlies coming up on Friday. All right, let's do some shootout. Shootout presented by the Wallace Firm. Injured, need a win? Go to my guy, Brad Wallace at the Wallace Firm. Proven trial lawyers who can get you a W for your case if you're injured. Get the W. Call 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Mr. Michael Funches, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man? Miss you, man.
Part of me, I miss you too. I know you were sick last week.
Yeah,
I took a couple.
I was out, man.
Yeah.
Out bedridden. With the flu.
I got a feeling you're doing some load management on us right now.
No, yeah, man.
No, man. I know what you're doing. You're thinking this through. You're kind of looking at the Lakers schedule. You're like, look, I'm going to be fresh for the playoffs.
Yeah, hopefully, man.
How you feeling now?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot better. I'm feeling a lot better that I'm at work when no one's here today. Literally, there's no one here in the office today.
Is it weird that I love when nobody's here?
I love it, too. But then I do hate it sometimes. Yeah. You know, but then around this time at night, you're just like, man, I wish I was at home.
That's true.
Yeah.
That part's true.
All right. Let's get this party started.
I noticed stuff.
Thank you, Stephen A.
Stephen A. Appreciate you hopping
on
this late.
Right there. All right. We were witnesses to the All-Star Weekend that was in Chicago. We saw Bam win the Skills Challenge, Buddy Hield win the 3-point shootout, Derrick Jones Jr. win the controversial slam.
No. Dwayne Wade won the slam dunk contest.
Derrick Jones Jr. won a controversial slam dunk contest and saw Team LeBron victorious over Team Giannis last night. Allen, who was the biggest winner and the biggest loser from the last weekend of the All-Star Game weekend?
Biggest winner, the NBA and Adam Silver. I thought they couldn't have played their cards better.
Yeah.
This is coming off, obviously two big losses for the NBA.
Yeah, big losses.
With the commissioner, David Stern. And, of course, the tragic, tragic loss of Kobe Bean Bryant, his daughter Gianna Bryant, and the seven other victims in the helicopter crash in Calabasas. So I thought the way they represented the league and represented those two individuals that obviously had a lot of impact in the National Basketball Association, I thought they were the biggest winners of the weekend. That was my thought. Another big winner is the fans. We had an incredible weekend of solid basketball for three straight days.
Mm-hmm.
I loved everything about it. I already told you how much I hated Saturday night when Dwayne Wade tried to put his biased and take away a slam dunk.
Should be banned from an All-Star game completely.
Honestly, like, what an idiot. I can't tell you how
I
much
love
that,
Dwayne
that
Wade, but
so
he should just stay away from All-Star weekend,
Dwayne,
please.
No, I mean, look, Dwayne Wade is as good as he was as a player on the court, one of the best competitors to ever do it. Probably third best shooting guard in the history of the NBA. Some people would say that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Michael, Kobe, yeah. and Dwayne Wade. Polished as an announcer. How can you be dishonest in that slam dunk contest just so you could have one of your friends win? That cannot feel good for a competitor.
Not even one of his
like
friends,
Dwayne
but like
Wade.
Just a guy that was on your former organization.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't even know if they're friends, but just a guy that plays for the Miami Heat. You're going to give it to him?
Biggest loser of the weekend, Dwayne Wade.
I got it.
That's who the biggest loser was.
Like we just said, the biggest winner was the NBA, you know, great Kobe tribute. Even Friday night with the rookie challenge, the Team USA versus Team World, that was great to watch. Mm-hmm. Saturday night with the All-Star, Saturday night, the slam dunk contest. I mean, it was controversial, but we're all talking about it. So, I mean, I guess the NBA kind of won with that one.
Well, the NBA won with everything.
Yeah.
For the Saturday, I thought it was for the wrong reasons. Yeah. But I thought the dunk contest was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Derrick Jones Jr. is a stud. I mean,
Sort of like a one-trick pony doing it
between the legs?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I thought, too.
There also wasn't enough creativity in his
Aaron
dunks.
Gordon had a lot of stuff that was creative.
Incredible creativity from Aaron
Gordon.
And
plus, like, just doing it on a spot, dunking over a taco fall. By the way,
another way to know about... I love watching the players on the sideline.
Yeah.
Their reaction... let you know these are their peers.
Yeah.
Just how good a dunk was or it wasn't. Was it impressive? Was it not?
Uh-huh.
Everything Aaron Gordon did, I thought they were, you know, all over the place. That dunk off the backboard, Markelle Fultz scored off the backboard.
That was great.
What more do you want to see from
even
this guy?
Dwight Howard, when he smiled at the camera, the degree of difficulty on that.
Dwight's dunk, he was facing once, like not even facing the basket. He was to the right of the basket, like he was going to dunk it there. And then slowly
you have to watch it.
Around.
You have
it's
to watch
beautiful.
It in slow motion to
it's
sort of appreciate
dunk.
It.
Yeah, beautiful.
But one loser I have, I don't know if you saw the NBA All-Star roast after Saturday night.
I watched some of it. Who was
Gary Payton was the worst guy I've ever seen
bad?
In my life. he couldn't tell a joke.
You know what? When I saw him up there, I was like,
I was like,
GP,
yeah. And it was like really, you know, comedians up there with Gary Payton, you know, real
Curtis,
comedians.
Did you hear it? Curtis, you hear it at all? No.
No.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
It was one of the worst things I've ever heard. And at the end of of Gary Payton doing his jokes, he had to compliment people because his jokes were so bad.
Oh, when did he go up? Did he go up towards the end?
I think he went up. Maybe he was like the third or fourth.
The comedians would have ripped him if
Gary Payton even ripped on himself because he was unfunny.
Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
Thank you, Stephen A.
Stephen A, don't come at KCP
man.
All right?
He's doing well right now. Cavs coach John Boehlin could be out of a job, according to Shams from Yahoo. Now, Cleveland has a worse record in the East with a 14-40 record. And seen little development from their last two first-round draft picks in Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. Now, according to Woj, friends and associates of Boehlin have described him as unhappy, even miserable, with the move to the Cavaliers. Maybe like a month or so ago, he had to apologize to the team for calling them thugs when he meant to say slugs.
Yeah, not a good...
Now, what's next for the Cavs and Boehlin, assuming that he cuts ties with them?
Well, I'll tell you this about the Cavs real quick. I don't know where the hell they're going. You know, LeBron saved that franchise. LeBron got that franchise an NBA championship. LeBron left. And,
well, I do know that they're not going to hire another college coach.
Isn't he on a 5-year deal?
Yeah, he is. And he just signed a deal in May or March last year.
What are they saying? They're going to fire him or they're trying to part ways with him?
I think they're trying to push him out, sort of, so they don't have to pay him.
This is the Cavs in a nutshell. I don't know what you want me to tell you, man. That's the last team I'm worried or concerned about, but it's a crazy story. Here you took a coach from Michigan, right? He was at
Michigan
for a number of years.
And he did well there.
Very successful.
Yeah.
Look, NBA players are nothing like college players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that it's probably much tougher to coach these NBA players. Mm-hmm. It's different. In college, they're probably listening to him. In the NBA, they're like, who the hell are you?
Well, I think for the Cavs, they're going to try to hire a respectable coach. I don't know what respectable coach is going to take the job. We might even see a young coach, too, maybe like a 30-some-year-old guy.
Take a chance.
You know, one of those young guys.
Yeah.
And what's next for Baylen? He goes back to college.
Yeah,
like
he'll go back to college. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I am having a very bad day.
Yeah, Stephen A.
Listen, the day's almost over.
I know,
so
man.
So the good thing is tomorrow's a brand new day.
Exactly. In buyout news, we mentioned earlier, Damari Carroll got bought out from the San Antonio Spurs, and Jeff Green got bought out from the Utah Jazz.
What's going on with all these buyout players?
And
nobody wants to come play for the Lakers?
And both are reportedly heading to Houston to play center for the small ball Houston Rockets. Will these two guys help the small ball movement in Houston, Alan?
Probably. I mean, there's a lot of guys there that... You know, they loaded up.
Yeah.
They're all in for that style.
If there was a 6'9 and under league, they would win the championship, you know, 10 times over.
They're all in for that style. You know how they say some teams don't have an identity? At least the Rockets know how they want to play.
And that's the one thing I heard before All-Star Weekend was that at least, you know, Houston knows who they are. And not a lot of teams know who they are. Houston knows who they are.
Well, this is what I'll say. I don't care about the Rockets, but I would have loved to have grabbed one of those two players.
God. Especially Carroll, because you can put him on the best offensive player on that team.
You could put him on Paul George.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not saying he's going to stop him
but he's going to make it very difficult for him.
You could put him on Paul George. Yeah. You can match them up together.
And he'll hit some threes, too, in a corner, too.
Lakers have a number of guards that are just undersized.
Yeah.
They're just small enough. Mm-hmm. To not be able to go up against some of the bigger wings in the NBA. So both of those players choosing the Houston Rockets is disappointing.
Yeah, I really think that...
Why do they need him? Didn't they just get Covington and...
I know.
Well,
I mean, they need some centers. They need centers, man. They traded away Clint Capela and they need a center.
I respect that they're trying something different. I don't think it will work, but with Clint Capela, they wouldn't have won an NBA championship, so they're rolling the dice here.
Yeah, they're really rolling the dice, but at least they know who they are, and they're all in on a small ball.
Who does that?
Listen, Stephen A., we're not sure. We're trying to figure it out, too, okay?
All
just
right,
give us a second.
In other buyout news, the T-Wolves, in an unprecedented move, I've never heard of this before, T-Wolves will allow Evan Turner, who they just traded for in a D'Angelo deal, to allow the workout for the Clippers.
Explain that one to me.
While he awaits a buyout for Minnesota.
What are the two franchises merging here?
I don't know.
But T-Wolves are the G League to the Los Angeles Clippers. Explain that one to me.
But they're letting him work out to see if the Clippers want to pick him up when he officially gets a buyout for Minnesota. And the question here is could he be a nice consolation prize for the Clips since Andre Iguodala is off the market?
Clippers don't need anything else. Man, they got enough. I was really hoping Mo Harkless would get bought out from the Knicks. I really was.
Well, we still got some hope, man.
Still got some time.
As long as he's on a playoff roster, I believe by March 1st, you know, he can play in the playoffs.
Well, this is the Clippers. I know they have roster spots available, but you know they're going to be 12, 13 guys deep here. Like,
this
I don't know what they're going to do with all their...
If they get Evan Turner, this is a huge deal for the Clippers.
You know, it's funny. I don't know how much they need him. They just already have so much depth.
I'm going to get a lot of angry callers and angry people when I say this, but Evan Turner is sort of a poor man's Andre Iguodala. He does a lot of the same things Andre Iguodala can do. He can defend. He can run the point. He can shoot a little bit. And it's a nice pickup for the Clips if they can get him.
Well, they obviously have an incredible amount of depth. It would be nice for the Lakers to kind of land one of these buyout players, but we're kind of an offer right now, so we'll see what happens. By the way, I'd rather have Evan Turner than the Deion Waiters of the world.
I would too. Yeah, Smiths, I would, you know, too. Evan Turner is a lot stable, and he what kind of player he's going to get with Evan Turner.
Yeah.
You do not want to make an enemy out of me.
I'm not Stephen A.
That's my bad.
I'm sorry, Stephen A. Well, today is Michael Jordan's 57th birthday.
Why did he say that, by the way?
What? Oh,
why
you remember
Stephen
that?
A say that? What was that for?
You do not want to make an enemy out of me.
He said that to Kevin Durant.
Oh, that's right. That was KD.
Yeah. Somebody that came to Rand.
Stephen A., relax.
Okay. All right. Well, today is Michael Jordan's 57th birthday. Happy birthday, MJ. I'm wearing a pair of Jordan 2s today in his honor. There's so many moments in MJ's career, but what is the greatest MJ moment in your eyes, Alan?
The greatest... All right, a couple things come to mind right away. The push off on Brian Byron.
Push off. It's a push off now, huh?
The push off on Byron Russell. The final shot there. The shot over Elo.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that one is just also iconic.
Also, the switch in the hands and versus the Lakers.
Okay, explain the switch to the hand. Why was that such a big deal? Am I missing something? Because in my head, I was like, why didn't you just put it up with your right hand? Why are you switching to your left?
Because Sam Perkins was there, and who's going to block it?
Michael, you're already up there. Perkins is not blocking you. Shoot the ball with your right. I never understood that.
It just looks better in slow motion.
I remember when I was a kid, that game one, Lakers versus the Bulls, right?
Yeah, Lakers got that one, too.
Perkins hit two threes, key threes, right at the end of the game, and Lakers won that first game. It was on the road. Then you got one more in Chicago, and then three in a row in Los Angeles, right? So I was like,
It's done, right?
It's over.
Right?
Got the one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll lose game two. It's a wash. Run out three in a row in L.A., and we'll parade. Next thing you know, Bulls run off four in a row and start their dominance. I know.
If you ask Michael Thompson, it was...
Worthy injured?
Worthy was injured.
Yeah.
But I'd say it was Michael's year. It was Michael's year to win. Nothing was going to stop him from winning.
They lost enough prior to that, too,
where
they had that taste of like, okay,
lost to the Pistons a couple times, and they,
Boston in the playoffs.
My greatest Michael moment has to be when he dunked over Patrick Ewing in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Where he looked like he was just going to go baseline. He went to the corner.
He was dribbling it out to the three. Hey, guys, let's reset.
Yeah.
Let's reset.
And then he went back baseline, and then he just dunked it over Ewing.
And looks down at Patrick Ewing.
Oh, God, man.
Yeah, Jordan at the Madison Square Garden. Yeah, that was special.
And then also when he came back and he dropped 55 in Madison Square Garden, too, was one of my favorite moments.
Oh, my God.
With the 45.
Gosh. Was that with the Wizards? No, that was with the Bulls when he was wearing
45.
I remember he had a game winner in Atlanta with the Wizards when he came back and he was wearing the 45.
Yeah.
And it was in a Washington jersey. And just the crowd in Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
You'd have thought 19,000 were family members of Michael Jordan.
And that's one of the things I regret is when he came back for the Wizards, I didn't go out and watch a game. When he came to play the Clippers and the Lakers, I didn't watch any of those games. Whatever. I was a broke college student, so I didn't really want to see him
anyway.
And
wasn't that good.
And Stephen A. has something else for you to live by.
Stay off the weed!
That's all I got for you, brother.
Thank you, Stephen A. And thank you, Michael Funches. 877-710-ESPN. I know there's still a couple callers out there that want to talk about Kyle Kuzma. So we'll continue that conversation about Kuz. I want to circle back around on some of this All-Star Game stuff. Doris Burke had some great things to say about the All-Star Game, plus on LeBron's workload. Kendrick Perkins was on the jump a little bit earlier today. I got something from him. Be a part of the show, LA, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. How about Dr. Dre's his tribute to Kobe Bryant? That was an amazing, amazing moment at the All-Star Game as well.
Obviously, yeah, what do you think about that?
Amazing.
What do you think about changing the Staples Center to Kobe Center?
How about that?
That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? You see that graphic?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that gave me chills.
Absolutely. Listen, Dr. Dre is obviously as LA as it gets. So when you have somebody like that, he has a meaning and an understanding of the impact Kobe Bryant had on this city as good as anybody, right? So it was great to see him do the tribute. And that's not to say other people don't or anything like that, but obviously that's somebody that's rooted right here in Los Angeles. Okay, so a little bit earlier we were talking about Kyle Kuzma, and the conversation was on the expectations for Kuz this season. And I made it very simple. All I said was no more excuses for Kuz. He's got to deliver for the Lakers. He has to. How he delivers is not just all based on scoring. There's other ways you can deliver. And I think, you know, we've given him an incredible amount of passes. I guess that's probably the right way, because he needed some adjustment. He's trying to figure things out. He's gone through some injuries. Trade deadline was all there. My whole point is the rest of the season, okay, no more excuses. Now it's time to deliver for the Lakers, because he's a critical piece to this puzzle. Without him delivering for the Lakers, it could be a problem when you face the Clippers or when you get into the postseason. So Kuz's got to be a bigger fit. Eric and Marina Del Rey, appreciate you waiting for as long as you did, my man. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead.
No problem, Alan. Thanks for taking my call, bud. Listen, I think with Kuz, what it really comes down to at the end of the day is I think he has an ego. You know, he came into the league, played better than he ever expected to, than we ever expected him to. He was the first or second or third at most featured guy on the losing teams of the past 2 years. And then this year, it's just like, you know, look, all you have to do is compare him to guys like Caruso and Dwight. They establish what they need to do. They love their role. Both guys love their role. And then they come in, they play hard as hell, and that's why we love them. And they're getting like the reactions that Kuz used to get in the Staples Center with the fans chanting Kuz. And I think what happened is, you know, not only did he come in and play better than expected, but the Lakers promoted him as a star. He promoted himself as a star. It was almost like his own LeVar Ball.
But by the way, we kind of did too, Eric. You know, I was like, yeah.
No,
you know,
absolutely.
Kuz is gonna be good this year. You know, I sold myself on, yeah, Kuz is, that's 17, 18 points a night. And I don't know about you, Eric, but for me, it doesn't got to be points. I just want to see when he's on the floor, he'll do anything to help you win. That's what I want to see.
See, and that's the thing, too, because like there's been games where he's had double-digit rebounds, and it's like, there you go. But at the end of the day, it's like if you're not scoring consistently and you can't play defense or you're not improving your defense, that's the thing. Like some games, even if he's scoring, even if he's rebounding well, guys just – he doesn't rotate right. And, again, I don't know if his focus is off because he's not one of the top guys anymore on the team, but I don't know. He's just – he doesn't embrace it like Caruso and Dwight.
Well, Eric, you know? I'll tell you this, and I appreciate you calling in. If you guys want to be a part of this conversation, phone number is 877-710-ESPN. We're talking about Kuz and expectations for the rest of the season and the postseason. You know, I think there's a certain amount of the year where you're trying different things out. And if you're a head coach, Frank Vogel, and you're Jason Kidd and Lionel Hollins and Phil Handy and everybody else that's part of the coaching staff, it's your obligation to make sure that you're trying to figure out things that work. Certain recipes, okay, that one didn't work. This one looks great, whatever the case is. But as you start inching closer to the postseason, you got to obviously have a game plan that you know in certain situations and predicaments what players you can count on. I don't have that feeling right now that Kuzma can be counted on in that big game situation. That doesn't mean that Kuz can't come out and have a big game or whatever the case is, but I haven't seen enough this season to feel good. Okay, I know when Kuz is on the floor, you cannot get him off the floor. That's not the case. And I will say that as the season progresses, I'll use that game against Denver as an example. Kuz was on the bench at the end of that game. Close game, big game. Lakers trying to close out the All-Star break on a positive note. They're trying to go up 4+ games in the Western Conference standing. So it was obviously a big game for the Los Angeles Lakers, as it was big for the Denver Nuggets. Kuz wasn't in that stretch run there at the end. By the way, neither was Danny Green. Lakers were going with Caruso. I think KCP and Dwight Howard, those are the three guys Lakers were depending on. If Kuz wants those big minutes, if Kuz wants those critical minutes, got to find ways to be effective on the court. Charles calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. Appreciate you calling in, Charles.
Hey, it's just good to be up on the show, Alan. I just really do appreciate you.
You got it, man.
Now, one of the things like I do want to talk about is like, why isn't he like just going up to LeBron or like just going up to AD and like just ask about, hey, can we just practice this like in the morning time, practice like spacing, practice like rebounding, practicing whatever, so your game could be more tailored to the Lakers instead of just, like you said before, being on the bench.
You know, Charles, and here's the thing. Maybe he is. Like, I honestly don't have that answer. I don't think Kuzma would be one of those players that's not willing to learn something. And I don't think Kuz has a mentality where, he doesn't care. I don't think that at all. I think Kuzma really, really, really wants to be one of those players that has a big impact in this league. And hopefully it's rocking the purple and gold and with the Los Angeles Lakers and in a Laker jersey. And hopefully it's this season. But you just have to find ways in a game where there's only five players on the court and every player is so critical, you have to find ways to be more effective. Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN is powered by Sprint. Get the most out of your tax refund and get a great phone. Stop by at Sprint store today to learn how you can get a Samsung Galaxy S10 for an amazing deal. Get a network bill for unlimited and a great place and a great price at Sprint. Visit your local Sprint store, sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 to learn more. Restrictions apply. More of your guys' phone calls as we come back. I know there's James, Justin, Reggie. I know there's a number of people that want to get on. Stay on. I'll make sure I get you on in this next segment. And then I still got to hear from Doris Burke. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Justin, appreciate you holding. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, buddy. You there, Justin?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, man.
How you doing, Mr. Sleeve?
Good, man. Good. Thank you.
I'm calling in defense of Kyle Kuzma.
All right. Let's hear it.
The fall guy for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get to trade for anything better. So if they do go ahead and get to the big game and they don't get it, they're going to say it's because Kuzma didn't do this, didn't do that. It's not Kuzma's fault that the three position is LeBron and the four position is AD and his minutes are cut and he's coming off the bench.
Agreed.
Like what?
Agreed.
What more do we expect out of the man? And he's getting $2 million. I can go up the comp to Caruso and Dwight, similar. Low-paying guys, but there's plenty of other guys that are not pulling their weight, and it's not Kyle Kuzma's fault.
You know, Justin, what it came down to, what was your expectations walking into the season? Did you think he wouldn't have a good year? Did you think he wouldn't be that productive, or no?
No, I really thought he was going to ball out. But you know, it's also math. You got to take into consideration he's got two fantastic players in front of him for the two positions he plays. And
so
he's coming off the bench.
Is it too much for me to ask for, Justin, to just make sure when Kuz is on the floor, when Kuz is, you know, at any point that Kuzma's on the floor, that he just finds certain ways to be effective? And it doesn't have to be just points. Am I asking for too much when I say Kuz is grabbing 8-9 rebounds a game, he's hustling for loose balls, he's tipping out balls off the glass, he's taking a couple charges? Am I asking for too much on that? Where I feel like it doesn't have to just be points where you're effective, because you are right, with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, yeah, you're going to eat a lot less than those two players. And then other guys come in. Rondo probably is trying to feed other guys or get his own. I'm not saying it's an easy predicament. What I'm saying is there's other ways to be effective than just scoring.
Oh, I clearly agree. I, as a Kuzma fan, I've always looked at him like, why do you end up with three rebounds a game? You're 6'9", just like LeBron 6'9".
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's doing 11 assists and 27 points. You need to get out there and get at least as many rebounds as Bron. And honestly, they didn't really have any other threes besides him and Kuz. So I feel like when they say they need a wing defender, you have the whole season to put Kuz out there as your wing defender. I don't see, unless he gets hurt, he has to get better by the playoffs.
Yeah, that's why when I make the point is, okay, there's no more excuses, right? There is no more excuses. Now it's essential that he's bigger for the Lakers. Essential. Reggie in Las Vegas, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Reggie.
Hey, I kind of agree with, similar to what the last caller says. I think, you know, whatever we get from Kuz, it's just kind of what we're going to get right now. We came in, you know, beginning of the year, the summer, thinking he could be that third guy. And ideally, I think he'll get there. Hopefully, maybe next year after soaking up, you know, some of the veterans that he's around this year. But I think that third guy is kind of just like stepping up every other night that we get. You know, some nights it's Caruso, some nights it's KCP, some nights it's JaVale, some nights it's Dwight. So anything that we get from Kuz right now, I feel like it's kind of extra.
Yeah, my hope is, Reggie, that it's not extra. It's what we expect, and it's on a more consistent basis. By the way, maybe there's another third guy. Maybe there's another player that's sitting deep on that bench that could come in and be effective for the Los Angeles Lakers. Head coach Frank Vogel had an individual player that he was referring to over All-Star Weekend.
He's on track to get healthy by the playoffs, and we'll have to see, you know, where he's at with rhythm and conditioning and timing on all that stuff. But there's a possibility he returns this season, yes.
All right, that's DeMarcus Cousins. That's what Boogie Cousins, head coach Frank Vogel, was talking about. So that's kind of a surprise over the weekend, Funches. I don't think we were expecting to hear that. I think they've always had it in the back of their mind. That's why he's obviously taking up one of the roster spots. That's why he's on this team. But listen, maybe
that's why he didn't get traded in any deal, too.
And maybe that's the key. Maybe the key is that they feel like by the time we get to the postseason, maybe DeMarcus Cousins can be a part of this team.
Yeah, I can see him giving him a good 10 minutes a game if he could, you know, but... The bad side on it, the con is, you know, he did the same thing last year in the finals, and you know that, see how that worked out.
Him, it's so hard for him to come back from that injury. But listen, I'm obviously not a I'm not a doctor, I'm not a trainer, I'm not a, I don't know any of this stuff. But if coach says that he's on track to potentially come back from the playoffs, mm-hmm. you know, the Lakers got their stuff in order when it comes to that department. That
and the training department is really good. You know, Judy Cito is doing really good stuff over there. So, you know, if Vogel says he can come back for the playoffs, I believe it.
James in Sunland, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, James.
Hey, guys. First off, just want to give a quick fist bump for the fourth quarter All-Star.
We'll take it. We will take
it. That was pretty sick. Mm-hmm. You already know. Anyways, first disclaimer, I'm not an expert, but from what I see and from what you guys have been talking about, yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking right now, is it a mental thing, you know, for Kuzma? You know, you said he has all the abilities. He came out of college. He knows how to catch and shoot. He's clutch. He beats the buzzer. You know what? But Bosch and other players said it's, you know, it's a hard fit with LeBron, but I don't know. We're in championship season, and I think, you know, Caruso is Kuzma's mirror. Look in the mirror, Kuz. Like, Caruso's doing the thing, you know? Like, why can't Kuzma do that? And he has more talent. And you know what? Yeah, he's not been getting as much minutes as in the past, but you know what? You're a professional. You
still be effective.
Yeah, go be effective.
You can still be effective, you know? And James, and this is... Look, whatever happened, happened. This is the time right now moving forward. Like, this is it. Moving forward for Kuz, there are no more excuses. I think we've already put out a lot of excuses. And I'm good when listeners call in and they say, you know, you're being too hard on him, or our expectations are, they're off on him. Again, what I'm hoping for from Kuz, be effective when you're on the court. Be an asset when you're on the court. That's it. I don't care what happens after that. Go ahead, James. Keep going.
Yeah, and you know what? Tyra Banks recently in an interview was talking about Kobe when he first came in. You know, and Kuz is an outsider too. And when Kobe came in, Tyra was telling him, you know, this is Hollywood, this is that. I don't know if Kuzma got that talk. I mean, I know he has LeBron, but has he gotten that talk? And just in general, as a fan, I just want to appreciate the season. I started following in 2010 during the championship run, so I'm kind of in both extremes now. but as far as this team this year, I don't know. I think we have a chance, but I don't know if it's quite the 2010 team yet, like especially with Kuz. And also just a quick shout out to Kobe. He was a big inspiration to me. He was my captain is what I could say. You know, it pushed me to be more. You know what? We all know what Kobe means to us. And yeah, Kuz needs that Mamba mentality. This is a championship opportunity. We don't get too many of these.
Appreciate you calling in, James. Thank you, buddy. I know, and you're right about that. You don't get too much of these opportunities. That's why I think we're so critical at times on all the players. Doris Burke was talking about the All-Star game. Obviously, a lot of positivity around the All-Star game this weekend. Here's Doris Burke. She was on First Take.
They fixed the All-Star game, in my estimation. I think other leagues need to look at this. One of the things we know about the NBA is they are proactive. If they see something wrong with their league, they take everything in their power and try to fix that. The strategy was compelling to me. Think about the first quarter. Team LeBron wins. What happened? Giannis came out like a house of fire in quarter two. So throughout the course of the game, it elevated in terms of its competitiveness. Third quarter played evenly. Fourth quarter, LeBron James's team is down 9, and they are playing like it's game one of the NBA Finals. Very few fast break points, very few dunks. The individual defense played by Giannis Antetokounmpo on the corner of LeBron James, where he closes space and blocks a shot.
Yep.
and the assassin, Kawhi Leonard, coming out in the first quarter. He drilled 7 threes, 8 overall in the game. I mean, you talk about the ability, and then maybe the most important thing I think they pulled off on the entire weekend. And Saturday night was as good as Sunday. The most important thing, how do you manage honoring the great David Stern, Kobe and Gianna, mm-hmm. and still make it feel like it should to the fans? The touch that the NBA showed was nothing short of remarkable.
No question.
All right, that's Doris Burke on First Take. So I love her take on everything. Honestly, she's one of my favorite people to listen to, and I know she has an incredible amount of respect from a lot of players and fans, and just getting her take on it. I loved how she was on First Take and got a chance to, you know, obviously give her view on everything. All right, a couple things we're going to do when we come back. First thing, did you guys hear what Kedrick Perkins had to say on The Jump, kind of referencing to the All-Star game? I'll play that when we come back. Plus, Funches and I have our Power 5, our top 5 moments of the All-Star weekend, and a look ahead to these upcoming games for the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, L.A., don't forget, tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ, they'll keep this local stuff going, talk more about the Los Angeles Lakers, the Dodgers, everything going on a local basis. And then I got the Sliwa Show tomorrow night from 6:30 to 9. So we'll talk about all topics. Obviously, we'll hit on the Los Angeles Lakers, and then we'll talk about everything else going on in the world of sports. Kendrick Perkins, his thoughts on the All-Star game from yesterday. This was a little bit earlier with Rachel Nichols on The Jump.
I knew they were going to come out and honor Kobe. Mm-hmm. I knew the guys were going to come out and put it all out on the line. But I was watching. I was like, wow, is this the NBA Finals? I mean, when it got down the stretch and LeBron and Giannis guarding each other and you see the jump balls and the tie-ups, the fouls, the challenges and all this, I'm like, wow, I know Kobe is proud right now. But, you know, it was a few guys to me that came in off the bench that set the tone early for them. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry, Chris Paul, Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. And I thought Rudy Gobert did a great job of embracing the moment as a first-time All-Star. And when you see that, it was beautiful to watch, Rachel. And I think, you know, it was probably the best All-Star game I've seen since probably I've been living.
So that's Kendrick Perkins right there. I love the way he started it. Kobe would be proud, right? That was his thought process, was Kobe would appreciate and respect how hard these guys went. There's a great story Dwayne Wade tells, All-Star game, maybe 10 years ago, something like that. Dwayne Wade tells this story about during the All-Star game, he fouled Kobe. And come to find out, he broke Kobe's nose. And I don't know how much further after it happened, he gives Kobe a call and says, hey, man, I apologize. Didn't mean to do it. You know, it was inadvertent. And Wade tells the story that Kobe was like, no, I like that. You know, Kobe appreciated that he was playing so tough in an All-Star game. And, you know, Kobe Bryant was as well. And then Wade jokes around that he knew a couple days later, Lakers had the heat. And that's where Kobe's wearing that mask. And
the black mask. Looks like the Phantom of the Opera.
Ah, Kobe. Obviously, great stories at any moment that we could tell. But that I thought was special. And Kendrick Perkins talking about how Kobe would be proud because of just the fight that a lot of these guys had yesterday.
Yeah, especially Kyle Lowry taking charges from LeBron. Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it was so funny to me when they're reviewing plays, when Chris Paul and LeBron and James Harden were in the face of the referees. It's just so funny to see, because it was, when I say funny, it's because it was surprising, but you felt it, you know, as a fan, you were as into the game as they were. And that's what you want.
Yeah. I was on the edge of my seat just like you were, man. And I was yelling at the TV just like you were too, man. And to see, LeBron and Chris Paul and James Harden.
If they cared, we cared. Yeah. If they didn't care, we wouldn't care.
Right.
And you want your fans to care. All right, let's get our Power 5 going. Always the same beat. Always a fantastic beat.
Fan favorite. It's a fan favorite.
Curtis, let me tell you something. Tonight on the music, as good as it gets. Solid work by Curtis tonight. All right. So, Funches, this is what we're doing. We talked about this a little bit earlier. We are going to, our Power Five tonight is going to be the top five moments of All-Star Weekend. So I want you to give this some thought. Start out at number five of what stood out to you and what you enjoyed about the weekend.
All right, like I was saying during the break, I think my top five is going to be different from anybody's top five.
That's what we'd like to hear.
All right, cool. At number five, I got the end of the skills challenge with the big man versus big man. Sabonis versus Bam.
That was a good one.
And it's sort of like saying that it's a change in the guard now because the guards now, they don't pass the ball as well as the big guys. I mean, they were mentioning it during the skills challenge that
and it was
the guards are shoot first guys now.
It was the semifinals was four big men.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was Siakam, unprecedented.
It was Siakam, Bam Adebayo, Sabonis. What was the fourth one? There was one more. I forget off the top of my head who it was, but there were four big men.
Unprecedented, man.
That were representing the skills challenge.
Yeah.
I'll say this, too. It was kind of cool because Reggie Miller was on the broadcast, and so was Dwayne Wade. Yeah. So he had a Pacer and a Heat, and a Pacer and a Heat on
that's
the
right,
floor
that's
as well.
Right,
so
that's
there was,
right.
There was a lot of that going on back and forth.
Yeah, it was
the only difference is Dwayne Wade couldn't cheat Bam Adebayo into the Skills Challenge Championship.
Yes,
a little
sir.
Bitter there,
yes,
Curtis.
Sir.
I'm a little bitter. Okay, so that's your number five. My number five, I know this is a little bit further down the list, and it probably should be higher. When AD missed that first free throw, to end the game.
Yeah.
I was like, AD, please make the second one. Like, I didn't want AD to be the guy that missed the second free throw in that situation.
I know, but I kind of wanted him to miss the free throws so we can see what goes on.
You didn't want it to end that way.
Yeah, I wanted to see it end on a real basket.
Okay, so if there's one thing that I could, you know, give in pickup ball, when you go to 11 or you go to 21 or you go to 24, whatever, nobody's taking free throws, right?
Yeah.
So I think it would have been great in that fourth quarter that the game cannot end on a free throw.
That'd be great.
Right? So do everything that you just did, but AD got fouled right there, side out of bounds.
Right? That's good. That's
so
great.
So do it again. Right? So there, you could still foul out of games. You still only get six fouls. So like all that
comes
into play.
Maybe they do that for next year where they...
I think that solves one issue of that game ending, which by the way, I enjoyed every second. Even when the game ended on a free throw, it was so entertaining. I was still okay
with
it.
You're still at the edge of your seat for the free throw.
But you don't want it to end that way.
True.
But I felt bad for AD. The last thing I wanted is AD miss both of those free throws. Imagine Joel Embiid come back and hit like a fadeaway or a jumper.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends.
Oh,
AD, that would have been a bad look.
Yeah.
So that's my number five.
Number four for me was Zion in the rookie challenge. I don't know if you saw him on Friday night.
I didn't get to see much of it.
Oh, my God.
I had a show that night.
Oh, his head was above the rim when he was dunking, catching these alley hoops. And then at the end of the first half, Allen, he broke the rim. They had to adjust the rim.
I saw that.
Because he dunked it so hard with so much force.
He should have been ejected.
And I'm going to say this right now. I'll make a prediction right now. This will be the last time we see Zion not in the All-Star game. He'll be in the All-Star game from now on. I'm predicting the fans will vote him in.
Okay. By the way, how cool is that he was in the World USA, right?
Yeah.
How cool is that he was in that game?
Yeah.
And how cool is it Luka was in that game?
Yeah, right?
And Ja Morant was
in
that game.
Yeah.
Trae Young. Like, that game is slept on a little bit.
It is.
I don't think there's enough publicity towards that game. Like, that game should... Okay, I'm going to throw out an idea here. What if that game is before the All-Star game?
Like, on Sunday?
On Sunday.
I think a lot more people would be watching it. Because a lot of people don't really tune in for the Friday night events. They're out partying and, you know...
I know they want to make it a three-day event, but how cool would it be is if that game... I'm going to throw out another idea.
What's that?
What if the MVP of that game then gets to play in the All-Star game, too?
That'd be great.
I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas.
That'd be great.
I just wish that game got more hype.
Yeah.
Because I love the players.
I'll tell you what. You know, most years, that game, I look forward to that game more than anything else. Mm. Than the All-Star game and All-Star Saturday night.
All right. My number four, final round, stuck at 25 points. Devin Booker waiting on the sidelines. Buddy Hield got to hit the money ball for the win. Hits it 27-26. That was a cool moment.
Yeah.
And that's a good example, too, of how bad did Buddy Hield want to win that? How bad did Devin Booker want to win that? How bad did Bam Adebayo want to win the skill set? How bad did Sabonis want to win
these young kids? Those young kids really want
to. I like that they wanted to win these events. And I think that rolled right over to the All-Star game because a lot of these players want to win in the All-Star game. What's your number three?
Number three, Pat Connaughton.
Connaughton, yep.
His performance of Billy Hoyle in White Man Can't Jump. Did you see what he did? He dressed up as Woody Harrelson.
I did.
He bought out the shoes. He did the dunk. He did everything. He had the hat backwards. The only thing I don't know is if he could hear Jimi Hendrix music.
I don't know how impressive he was in the slam dunk contest.
I thought he was all right.
Maybe he was just going up against two of the best.
Yeah. And he did his White Man Can't Jump stick, and that was really one of the coolest moments for me.
All right, number three, Aaron Gordon off the side of the backboard. Unbelievable. Markelle Fultz threw it up for him. Just one of the best dunks I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. That's my number three. What's your number two?
Number two, Giannis blocks LeBron with the money on the line.
They had to review that, and the review, I mean, it was so close,
and it was like the best two players in the league, the two captains.
Amazing
game. You can't draw it up any better.
My number two is the entire fourth quarter of that All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
Just my hat goes off to that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's my number two. What's your number one?
Number one, the Kobe tributes.
I'm with you.
You know,
everything Kobe.
Everything Kobe was great. You know, and the NBA did a really good job on it.
1 week from today, memorial across the street, public memorial for Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant. So that's going to be going on. Real quick here, our look ahead. So this is what the Lakers got coming up. Funches and I are going to do our predictions. Funches, if you remember last week, I said I'm going against the Lakers because I was trying to, work the system.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
Because the Lakers won in Denver.
They did.
They got on Friday Memphis at home. Who do you like?
I like the Lakers. They're coming out fresh and they're well rested and all that stuff.
Lakers over the Grizzlies. I got them too on Friday. Sunday, the Boston Celtics at 12:30.
Wow. Got to take the Lakers. They're at home.
That's a game too. If you remember, the Celtics ran the Lakers off the TD Garden or whatever.
Looking
that place
for revenge
is
on this one, so I say Lakers.
Got to get some revenge. This will not be the ones where I try and play a game. I'm gonna say Lakers over the Boston Celtics. I got faith in this team to come back and beat up on some of these teams that beat them up when we were in the Eastern Conference. So I got the Lakers over the Boston Celtics. If you miss any part of the show, download the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Thank you to Michael Funches. Thank you to Curtis running the board over there. Everybody that called in and tuned into the program, greatly appreciate it. Tune in tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. You're listening to the Lakers Talk podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.